Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this morning, for these moments where we may again be gathered here as your people, as your saints, as your beloved ones, whom you have chosen beforehand, before the foundation of the world. We were already in your mind, O faithful God. We worship you this morning, and we ask you deeply, be with us, Lord. Bless the listeners. Bless the one who speaks. We know, Lord, everything depends on your blessing. We ask you, come into our midst. Manifest yourself in a mighty way. My God, we need you. We need your blessing. Take everything away from us, what is opposing you, every obstacle. Take it away, Lord, so that you have free way, so that you can manifest yourself. Lord, we pray also for these handkerchiefs. We lay our hands on them. By faith, Lord, may every power of darkness, of Satan, depart from these persons upon whom these handkerchiefs are laid. And the sickness must flee in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks and worship be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Continue to bless us is my deep prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last night, I missed to welcome our brother from the Iran. I don't know where he is right now. I just hope that somebody is here. Ah, here he is. Yes, our brother went through hardship, and we want to remember him in prayer. You know, a country that has been at war for over 6 years, where everything goes upside down, what is going on there. We can imagine who we still witnessed it. We can feel with him. Our brother is in some kind of trouble. He has to make decisions, and this doesn't work like we want it. But we want to remember him in our prayers, that God gives him grace. And even if what you set out to do not always comes true, may only the will of the Lord be done. Then it's enough. Our brother from Burundi gave us today a short report how he was in prison and how the situation is there. We live here in liberty. We can gather undisturbed, at least until now. Others feel very different. Out of prison, in prison, questionings and harassments which are connected with it. We want to pray for it, that God helps us also there to apply at the government, so that our brothers and sisters in peace and quietness can hear the word of God. Years back, we had a similar situation in Zaire, and God has given us grace that we also before the government found grace, so that this situation could be helped and the word of the Lord could be heard and can be preached and nobody has to be troubled. The same we ask for our brother from Burundi and all the brethren there. Also the neighboring Rwanda, these are all so little states with great dictators. And they all do what they like. And there we want to ask the Lord that he gives us grace and making use of the channels which we can to also help there our brothers. Sometimes prayers are enough, sometimes not. Many times it's necessary to do something and to turn to the certain sites to help there, and not only to bring a prayer before the throne of grace. Both belongs together, the prayer and the practical help. And for this, may God always give us wisdom and grace to do the right things in the right way and also at the right time. You all know from our own, we don't bring wisdom with us. We would lack it daily. But God, until today He helped, and He will continue to help until the end. To Him be the praise for it. How grateful we can be to sit in this way under the sound of the pure Word of God and to believe it, to believe as the Scripture says, not to interpret, but to believe. And as we heard it in the word of introduction, that we put our trust in the Lord. And whoever puts his trust in Him cannot be put to shame. That's how it is written. No one is put to shame who trusts the Lord. Should we have trusted in men, then it's possible that we are put to shame. But if we trusted in God, we cannot be put to shame. This is a wonderful truth. It is very much on my heart that these days, for all of us, for each one, become a remaining blessing. That people have an experience with God, a fresh experiencing God. Each one in that area where it is the most necessary. But we all need it. The one needs salvation, the other healing, the third deliverance, and we all need God's richest blessing. These are hours of preparation which God gives us in this way, and we want to make use of them. To it is necessary that we, everything disturbing, everything what can hinder us or what keeps us back, that we lay it aside and that we just concentrate on the Lord and His Word. I think I've said it yesterday. Sometimes even a question which was not good can bring already answers which are not a blessing to other people. Let us not ask how it is with him or her. Let us ask, how is it with me? How do I stand before God? Could I stand my ground before him if he would return today? As long as we are still busy with others, it could be possible that we have forgotten ourselves. And what good would it be if others would be ready and not we? I simply believe that God, for a very specific purpose, He has given us His promises for this time, that His Word and His will were revealed unto us. This is for me a sign that we found grace before God. If we would not have found grace before God, we would bypass, as the broad multitude of the believers, we would bypass what God is doing now. You all know, sometimes one has to make decisions in life, and especially then, if it is about the whole Word of God. Recently, some know it here, especially Brother Barrier and Brother Forestieri and others, I was invited to speak in a large church. But all of us, we know who we know this case. One would like to call many peoples together and hear a mighty sermon. But the message for this time, the prophet sent by God, and everything what is connected with his ministry, all this they don't want. A pious business, yes, but not that what matters now. And on the last Sunday in Zurich, when we were together with Brother Barrier, it suddenly came, like out of the blue sky, it came into my heart. There, where the word for this hour is not welcome, I also cannot be welcome. My life, my ministry, all my being cannot be separated from that what God has done in this time. With this I live. Yes, with this I have to live. I have no other choice. That my way is more difficult and more incomprehensible than the way of a general believer, this goes without saying. But don't you worry about me. I know him by name who takes care for me. And I can say to you, very privately, who it is. I know him who cares for me. And he is the one who cares for everybody. And if one would think humanly or judge humanly, one doesn't understand himself, let alone the circumstances into which one comes. But one thing we have deeply anchored in our hearts. O God, may your will be done in my life. How the will of God looks like, we cannot always say. But one thing we know, God will only allow that what is in his will. No sparrow falls from the roof yet without that he knows it. Everything what comes along our way has to go around him first. And sometimes things are happening to separate the spirits, to make a sifting, to test whether the people bear up or whether they depend on circumstances in their relationship with God. God wants to make such people out of us who don't depend on circumstances, who depend on nobody, but who only depend on him. And they also don't stumble, as we just read here, being disobedient to the word. This word was read for introduction from 1 Peter chapter 2. I just would like to read verse 7 again. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious, but unto them who be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. For some, the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, for the others, the precious cornerstone, elect and precious. There was always a separation among the people, and so also in these days. Some things happened already during the time of the ministry of Brother Branham. And so it is also written of our Lord, for a division I have come into this world, that the blind might see, and they which see might be made blind. All who think to see clearly, and they know everything very clear, without having read one sermon of Brother Branham, To them, everything was clear already. Such people, I want, without judging, I want to tell them today, nothing is clear to them yet. Clarity does not come from us. Clarity comes from God. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet, so that it is given to us in divine clarity. I have more hope for them who have not yet clarity than for those who know everything already. But also this we would like to emphasize, that God has led us throughout all these years from clarity to clarity, right? We can testify to that. Many things were hidden to us, and it was revealed to us in the course of time. Many things were unclear to us, and God has given us clarity about it. That's how it is also written in Philippians. If somebody has a different opinion, let God reveal it to him. Nobody needs to teach the other. The teaching comes from God. On that day, that's how it is written, not one will teach the other, but they all shall be taught by God. And how does it happen? We sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the sweet words of his mouth. I had to, when the word of introduction was read, I had to think on Hebrews chapter 11, namely on verse 1, in reference to the confidence. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Here the following words are written. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a confident trust. It does not stagger nor sway, because it is not something that would be movable, but unmovable. It is fixed forever. As firm as God is, so firm is his word. Just as we can rely on God, so we can rely on his word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word cannot pass away. It remains forever. So, faith is not something that staggers or sways, but it is a confident trust, a confidence in God, that the hope which he awakened in us through the promises which he has given us will come to fulfillment. This hope does not lead to disappointment. It leads to the fulfillment of the word of God. At the very end, these remain to us. Faith, hope, love. That's how we read it in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith in what? Not in us, not in circumstances or people. Faith in the living God who revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ our Lord very personally. He redeemed us. He reconciled us with himself and who re-established the fellowship with us. Hope that everything what he promised to us up to the translation and rapture when the hour of God has come for it, just as that day was an extraordinary day, so also the day of the return of Jesus Christ will be an extraordinary day. So the resurrection of the dead in Christ will be something extraordinary. Also the rapture will be something extraordinary. People already now claim to have the rapturing faith. Beloved, about these things we don't want to argue at all. But one thing we want to emphasize. We don't want any theory. We don't want any Kant. We want, with God, have the certainty of faith that we are heading to the things which were promised to us, and not think, yes, we have it already, but that we believe that God will give us everything step by step as it will be necessary in the hour in which God's word will be fulfilled. I believe that before the rapture, all who will take part in the rapture, like Enoch, they will have the testimony from God in them that God's well-pleasing rests on them. If somebody tells me, I have the rapturing faith, and in the next moment there is an explosion of hatred and slander and of all evil nature, such a person is twice deceived. He will only notice it in the end. The preparation comes down to that God's well-pleasing rests on us. That's how it was with Enoch. That's how we heard it from our Lord. When the voice sounded from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And I do not violate the scriptures when I say that all who in every age have heard with all their heart what the Spirit says to the churches, and by it hearing the saying of him who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks, hearing it and believing it, on them God's well-pleasing rests. God's well-pleasing doesn't rest on all them who bypass on that what he says and what he does, but on them who hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And even more, they will add nothing to that what God has said. They will have no need at all to present some kind of special revelation to the people or to create an atmosphere and to light up the fire a bit with the bellows. We don't want any strange fire on the altar of God. We want people who lay onto the altar of God so that the fire of the Holy Spirit can fall and consumes everything what is not of divine origin, in order to seal us then and to place us into the body of the Lord. Yes, we believe the divine message for this time with all our hearts and with all our souls, but we don't believe in all the messages which came up from it and which go into all directions under heaven. We believe in the one divine message as it was left unto us here in the Word of God. And all who are of God hear God's word and nothing else. If a person has still itching ears to hear something new here and something there, to his heart, God probably did not speak yet. How often one sees the people, they are on their way to hear something new. No, a person who has heard from God, who has received the word in himself. Dear Brother Branham says, all who are virgin-like and pure before God receive the divine seed of the word in them, and then the cervix closes. Then it begins to grow. Then it starts to take shape, not always a mixture, but receiving the pure divine seed into the heart. And then the thing closes and begins to take shape and to grow. This is our desire, to commit absolutely no spiritual fornication, but being based upon the clear statements of the Scripture, upon the unmistakable word, without adding anything or taking away from it. And this you can really believe me. That's not even something I can take credit for. But one thing I may say, if God has given me grace, then in two things: to know His word and the message for this time by divine revelation. And this is not my merit. This is the divine call and responsibility towards the people of God who were purchased with a high price on the cross of Calvary. Today it's not about religious politics. Today it is about that the Church of the Living God finds together, becoming one heart and one soul, rejecting all strange spirits, all strange doctrines, and thus becoming one among each other and one with Jesus Christ our Lord. If one looks onto the religious market, what is being offered there, all the addings after the passing of Brother Branham, and everyone picks out some things, as it's also being done with the Bible, and then it's built up and built up. Beloved, we are so grateful to God that we don't represent any doctrine, no opinion, no knowledge. But one thing we want to be able to say at the end of our pilgrimage, that we have proclaimed the whole counsel of God. By the way, I made this statement last Sunday in Zurich, and somebody probably didn't get it properly or belonged to some other group, and makes, while going out, the remark to a brother, "This is not correct that the whole counsel of God was proclaimed." And one notices from which kind of spirit such people are speaking. Of course, you cannot preach in one sermon the whole counsel of God. But Paul, before John was banned onto the Isle of Patmos, before the revelation of Jesus Christ was received and written down in Acts chapter 20 from verse 26, he could say already, "I declared unto you the whole counsel of God." But there are people, they are just not all right with themselves. They are in an inner discrepancy, and then they misunderstand that what is being said. No, nobody is God's privy counsel. Neither were the prophets. Moses probably knew more than Abraham knew, and Abraham knew more than Enoch knew, and Isaiah more than Elijah knew. It was more and more what God revealed. Important is for me that I, in this time, that I preach the whole counsel of God, and with this I mean all the promises of God, for this time, bringing it to the people of God. More I don't need. If God afterwards wants to do more, then he will not ask anyone when he will do it. So let us hold fast to it, the faith, not a faith, but the faith, as the scripture says, the faith, which is the victory that has overcome the world. No blurry imagination of God, no blurry imagination of His Word, no blurry imagination of that what is happening now, but clear revelation of God, clear revelation of the Word, clarity about that what God is doing now, not of ourselves, but given by the Holy Spirit, by His grace, right or not. Today, I was reading in the seals book, and I wished that I would have it before me now. There, Brother Branham says, in all humility, also I myself did not know all these things. The same we also testify of. We didn't know all these things, but now we know them. And we not only know them with our head, but we received the revelation by the Spirit into our hearts. How many can testify to that? That it was revealed to them what God is doing now. Say Amen. That's what matters. Believe me, that's what matters. We can preach hundreds of sermons about that, what Jesus has done, what the apostles have done, about Moses and Elijah. All these sermons are nice. But because we live now at the end of the time of grace, namely in a prophetic age, therefore Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And to Daniel it was said, seal up what you have heard in this book until the end time. So certain things remained closed and sealed until the end time. But now is the end time. Therefore, this is the time in which these things are revealed. Not because we would have a precedence before others, but because we live now in this generation. Blessed are we if we recognize the time and hour and the message with all the promises of God. Of course, to the proclamation belongs the whole gospel, and I speak it out here very openly. The proclamation of the gospel must and will, at the end, be accompanied with everything what we find reported in the ministry of the Lord in the four Gospels. Proclamation of the Gospel is not an empty proclamation, but must be accompanied by that what is reported unto us in the Gospels. There would be no Gospels at all if nothing had happened. But because something happened, therefore the Gospels were written down, and wherever the Gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, the same things must and will take place which were promised there. And not only promised, but they happened and they were written down. The Lord gave then the promise, after everything is so nicely listed of His ministry, he who believes in me will do the same works which I did, and even greater works, for I go to the Father. Hear this. Also, this is a promise from the mouth of the Lord. If we now read the Gospels and take everything to heart, what the Lord has done, and then think on the proclamation of the Gospel, then we must count with the same byproducts, with the same confirmation, with the signs and wonders following, as they happened at that time. And may God give me patience, the faith for it He has laid into my heart. I cannot doubt in that what He has said. And if I sometimes also look on circumstances or even on myself, then I say, Lord, what You promised, may You already fulfill it today. But I'm still in my own way, and therefore You cannot use me in that way and all of us the way You would like to use us. Let us never seek the fault with God, but we must believe that these things are here for us, that they were promised to us, and that they must be fulfilled, because the Lord promised them to us. This will also agree with that, as Paul could say then, the kingdom of God did not come to you in words only, but in the demonstration and power of the Spirit. And do you know what Brother Branham said in reference to the tabernacle in Jeffersonville? He said, here in this city more happened as reported in the Gospels and in the Book of Acts. God fulfilled His word. The dead were raised. A new nose grew within 3 weeks. God did creation miracles. God did greater things. Shall we have only object lessons and marvel about it? Or shall we ourselves be present when God does miracles? This is the big difference. We don't want to belong to those who marvel. We want to belong to them who believe, so that these signs and wonders follow them who believe. And if we believe as the Scripture says, and this we have confirmed in the testimony, I actually wanted to jubilate last night and also on Thursday when I heard this, especially if one knows a case or the people and then hears that an incurable disease and the death is before the door, and when God then does a miracle of healing, we don't ascribe that to ourselves, but we have prayed and we have believed and we took God at His word and we supplicated that the people who trust in Him shall not be put to shame. And God answered. I would have loved to have a praise and thanksgiving service to give glory to the Lord for that what He has done. Beloved, let us be in the expectation before the Lord and not sitting idle and think it will be fine. No, we must tune in on the inside. We must have an amen in our hearts, a hallelujah on our lips. Beloved, God speaks with us through His precious and holy word, no more in parables, but clear and open He speaks with us in these days. Blessed are the ears which hear and the eyes which see. As true as You died on the cross of Calvary, as true as You were beaten and smitten, so true You have carried my sin and my sickness to the cross. You were wounded for my transgression. You were beaten for my disease. The chastisement was laid on You so that I might have peace, and by Your stripes I am healed. This is true or not? Is this true? Then accept it by faith today. Accept it by faith and don't beg anymore for that what God already gave you. But thank Him for it and it will be yours. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we don't hope because we hope, but because God has laid the hope in us, the evidence of things not seen. All right, you don't see the healing yet, but you are firmly convinced that you are healed. And this is the solution. And if you believe it with all your heart, then confess it with your mouth. And already it took place. This is the way of God. If you only believe with your heart and you don't speak it out with your mouth, then the devil will be on your right or left ear and say, your faith is not here yet. You don't dare to confess it. Today, by God's help, we want to get rid of unbelief. What has belief and unbelief in common? What have light and darkness in common? Words of men or words of God? We are gathered here in the presence of God, not only to hear what He has to say to us. We are here to experience and to receive what He has promised to us. And today we all pray, and this with all our hearts, and even more, after we were in prayer and the faith arose in us, we will start to thank God that He has heard our prayers. One could pray for 3 hours, and if at the end of the prayer the certainty is not in your heart that God has heard you and that He has given you for what you asked for, then you can pray another 3 hours and nothing will happen. But if you pray for 10 minutes, seeking and finding the fellowship with God, and the Spirit starts to work in you, the preaching went forth. Now the Spirit takes the word to quicken the faith and to give it wings so that it can lift up. Then pray, pray, but let this prayer follow the assurance of faith, and then the thanking starts. Lord, I thank you that you heard me. Lord, I thank you that you healed me. Lord, I thank you that you saved me. This is necessary. We must, with our mouth, confess loudly and testify what we believe quietly in our hearts. Shall we do it today? And you shall see the glory of God. Ye will see, we will see the glory of God. And God is here to confirm His word as being true in all of us. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. We sing the chorus, "Oh, it is Jesus." I pray for a new experience with you. I pray for a new experience with you. Only through you I will be a victor. give me your power. Reveal yourself anew unto me. Veil me in your grace. I pray for a new experience with you. Only through you I will be a victor. Give me your power. Reveal yourself anew unto me. And veil me in your grace. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, opening our hearts, let me give here a serious admonition. Make use of the opportunity which God gives us, gives you, all of us. Everybody who recognizes his condition and knows that he in this way cannot stand his ground before God. All who did not yet make a genuine experience with the Lord, who did not yet experience a true conversion which led to the renewing and to the new birth, I ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do not let such opportunities pass you by. Make use of them. Don't be ashamed before the people. For it could be that one day the word too late has to come over your lips in greatest desperation, which cannot be expressed in words. Let us make use of such hours which God gives us, not only to hear, but to make our decision. Sometimes the people are under different powers without knowing it, without that they want it, and they cannot help themselves. These hours shall serve for the purpose that the Lord, in whose presence we are gathered, that he helps everyone. And I ask you, who came to him? Who called on him? Who asked him for something? And he would not have given it to him and not done it. Whom did he send away? He cleansed the lepers. He made the blind seeing. To the sinners, he has forgiven sin. All who came to him, he didn't cast them out. And we have today the same promise. It is the same Jesus of Nazareth. Today we may come to him. Don't be ashamed before your husband, before your wife. Don't be ashamed before others or before yourself. Come to the Lord. Receive him. Accept him. Be ready in your heart to make an end with a life without God, to be able to start a new life with God. Nobody can serve two masters. Nobody can walk on both ways at the same time. Either we are on the broad way which leads to destruction, or we come to the narrow gate. But first comes the gate, not the way. First the gate, this door, and this is Jesus Christ. Everyone is on the broad way by nature and from birth. But before we can step on the narrow way, we get to a gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are only few who find it. Today, this gate is before you. Today Jesus stands even before the door of your heart and knocks. The time gets serious. The time gets short. The coming of the Lord draws near. May nobody be left behind and then has to blame himself to have rejected God's offer of grace. Precious soul, consider the price and decide yourself what is better, to risk your salvation and to continue like until now, or to have the courage to break with everything what hinders you to walk on the narrow way and to enter the straight gate. Today, this decision between you and your God shall be made in your heart. And this now, now, in this moment. Children are not automatically believers because their parents believe. We need a personal experience with the Lord. He is nigh to us, I know it. I know He calls, and I know He urges. And I know that those who were addressed, they know it. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. For the day comes when you will wrestle, and then God will not hear you. Because it will be too late. Today the Lord calls. Today ye shall come. And I tell you also here the secret. Whoever wants to experience a secret, a conversion hidden before others, he tries it his own way. A person who is seized by the Spirit of God, at the most, he is ashamed of his own sins and everything that was not right before God. But we are not ashamed to come to the Lord. Don't try it your own way. You will not succeed. Call upon the name of the Lord and ye shall be saved. Call upon him now and don't think by yourself, I do that in my heart and with myself. Also here must be fulfilled what the scripture says. With the heart one believes, that's how it is written in Romans 10, and with the mouth one confesses to be saved. It is absolutely necessary that a person who wants to be saved, that he recognizes that he is lost and that he calls upon the Lord as his Savior, that he sees his own condemnation, and then accepting his salvation by faith. Precious hearts, we not only want to have preached mysteries of God, we want that people come into the kingdom of God and get born again unto a living hope. Oh, may the Spirit of God take the Word of God and by the blood of the Lamb and work in the redeemed and in those who are still added, so that nobody would be excluded. Let us once again sing a chorus, maybe just as I am. Oh, may God help that we take it to heart. It is not my call to you. It is God's call. For thus Paul writes, God beseeches you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. Let us sing, just as I am. as we have our heads bowed, I just would like to ask whether somebody wants to obey the call of God. I cannot cast out the net and leave it in the sea. I have to pull it to the shore. I have to give to the Lord the opportunity to perform the salvation on them who call upon Him. And while our heads are bowed, I ask for, if the Lord calls you, raise briefly your hand so that we can include you in prayer. God bless you. God bless you all over. All over. The hands are lifted up. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, what a joy is in heaven if the Spirit of God can work repentance for the remission of sins and the faith in the finished work of redemption. Let us pray now, all together, really all. Brother Russ, please come and pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you together for the mighty impact of your Holy Spirit. You have spoken. You are still at work, Lord. Lord, let something happen for the glory of thy name. May the people in this hour have heard your call. May they experience your presence. May they know that you paid the price on the cross of Calvary, where you have shed your blood for the sins of the people. Right now, in this hour, you deliver them, O Lord. We thank you, my God. May they have received you, O Lord. Then you are ready to give them the testimony in their heart that they are set free. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name. We worship you and we thank you for the deliverance. We thank you for the redemption. We thank you for the salvation, for the healing, for everything, Lord, what you are doing in our days, in this hour. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. Lord, we sense your mighty presence. You are not far. You are near. You stand to your promise. You have said, where two or three are gathered in my name. Lord, we are more gathered here, and your Spirit is present. Praise and thanks and glory and worship to your wonderful name. Lord, continue to work is my prayer. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe that the Lord has done it? Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is a confident trust on what one has not yet seen, but knows that God has promised it. We first believe, and then we see. And because we believed, therefore we will see, and therefore we will experience. Hallelujah. Praise God. Believe, for it is God's holy word. The gospel of Jesus Christ should be preached in His name for the remission of sins to all nations. Today, we have preached in the name of the Lord the gospel for the remission of your sins. Today, you can believe. Today, you can experience it and take it home, for God stands to His word. He has made a new covenant in His blood, and He says, this is the blood of the new covenant. May the name of the Lord be praised. How many believe that the Lord has forgiven you your sins? Let me see the hands. God bless you. Should somebody doubt, come please after the service to the front here. There will be brothers available who would like to pray with you. There are people who cannot penetrate alone. Then we are here to pray with them so that by the grace of God can penetrate. Who has expected healing from God and believes that he received and experienced it? Praise be to the living God. We must start to believe God with all our hearts and confess with our mouths. This is very important. Believe me, this is important. We must that what we believe in our heart, we must confess it with our mouth, and then it is ours. You all know the word from Mark chapter 11. Whatever we ask in prayer and believe with all our hearts, we just need to speak it out and it shall take place just the way we spoke it out. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. His word is alive and his blessing can be sensed. Praise be to his name. Amen. You may be seated.